bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast, Week 6 NFL edition, powered by Bet Online. Plenty of great games to get to as we look towards this weekend slate. Of course, we will get to the Thursday night game in great detail as Atlanta takes their undefeated record on the road to take on the New Orleans Saints. But before we get down to business, let's welcome in our co-host and loyal analyst on Bet the Board podcast, the one, the only, Payne Insider.
What's going on, buddy? How goes it?
It goes, my friend. And for all the loyal listeners out there, if you're not following Payne on Twitter, I encourage you to do so, and do so immediately. You can find him at Payne Insider and subscribe to this lovely Bet the Board podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, or check us out at toddstake.com. And Payne, as is our custom, anticipating the big game tonight and the weekend, any lasting memories from Monday night's football game between Pittsburgh and San Diego, one that looked a little drab on paper, caught some major momentum, and had one of the more interesting finishes of the entire season so far?
Yeah, it was a good game. Your boy Vic showed up. Did enough.
Wait a second. My boy Vic still doesn't know 40% of the playbook, and people on Twitter made it sound like I was ready to, I have no idea, try and make him testify again for dogfighting the way that they tried to vilify me for picking on Michael Vic.
You know, he didn't have a great game, but I think at this stage in his career he did enough to keep the chains moving a little bit. Obviously, the game-changing play was by the secondary, a secondary that we've bashed a lot this season. Antoine Blake with the 70-yard INT for touchdown really, really changed the dynamic of that game. And then obviously Vic with the big pass to Wheaton. That was huge. I won't say Pittsburgh was the right side. We did have some differing opinions on that game. I know groups definitely laid the three, and there was one group that came back and took 4.5 where they could find it. So that was a very interesting game to watch, and it'll be interesting to see how Pittsburgh does this week after the travel back home.
And those are two teams that we probably won't hit on in greater detail later in the podcast. For me watching that game, Payne, the one takeaway I had was San Diego's offensive line. I know they had some reinforcements back. We talked on Monday about how the defense was going to look better with some key players getting into the mix. Antonio Gates looked like he hadn't missed a step in the passing game. But San Diego can't keep Phillip Rivers upright, and it's going to be a big problem moving forward if he's under duress every time he drops back to pass.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line isn't good to begin with, and then when you start to miss some of those pieces that are just average, it becomes, you know, quite the folding lawn chair. They were still without King Dunlap, their left tackle. They should get him back pretty soon, but they got their center back, so I think that was a big help. Obviously, Antonio Gates looked a little different. Maybe the sauce is still lingering around in the system a bit. We'll see if that wears off. But the Chargers, they're decent offensively, and maybe some points are scored this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting team to watch. Melvin Gordon still, you know, learning the playbook. They got him more involved in the passing game and screens than they could running between the tackles. I think that is going to be a fixture until San Diego can shore up some of their offensive line issues. One of the things that we never really need to shore up, Payne, and we bring him on each and every week to give us the book's perspective to let us know what's going on. We welcome in Dave Mason. Dave, always good to have you joining the Thursday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. You know, have you and the shop been able to recover from the potential bloodbath you guys took last Sunday afternoon, my friend?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, those 1 o'clock games went our way, believe it or not. I thought it was going to be. Yeah, the 1 o'clock wasn't too bad, to tell you the truth. It was those 4 o'clock games that absolutely destroyed us. I mean, that Pats game, that was the biggest at 4 o'clock afternoon game of the year, without a doubt. And they covered with ease. Everybody's on the Cards. Everybody's on the Broncos, so we went 0-3. Of course, there's so many teasers on those passing Cards. But, yeah, the 1 o'clock games weren't as bad as I thought. I was kind of surprised myself. And then that late game, that Sunday night, the Sunday night game, we really needed to hold on. I mean, we still got the spread. We won the spread, but there are so many teasers on the Giants that negate that big time. Yeah, but, yeah, it was a winner for the house. I mean, winner for the players without a doubt. But it wasn't like, what was that, two with Ron. It was just, as you say, a bloodbath. It wasn't that bad. It was a decent-sized win for the players without a doubt.
Well, it's always interesting to hear you say that because I think a lot of the casual bettors assume that San Francisco was the side the house obviously needed. But when they're in a Sunday night time slot, standalone primetime, everybody has money line parlays tied in there. They have teasers. It doesn't work out as quite the ideal scenario as a lot of people would imagine.
Right. And those late games, it's kind of funny. You know, 1 o'clock, it's kind of fool's gold sometimes when you look at the grade after the 1 o'clock games because you're grading a lot of losing teaser and parlay tickets, whereas the potential winners are still open. So, excuse me, you're grading a lot more winners after those 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock games because, you know, the 1 o'clock games are done. You're grading a whole heck of a lot of more losing teaser and parlay bets after the 1 o'clock game. So the 1 o'clock game is always kind of fool's gold. You know, it's almost like you're always up after the 1 o'clock games. And then you're like, oh my God, we're having a great day. Then those 4 o'clock games sometimes bring you back down to earth a little bit. Because like I said, there's just so many more open teaser and parlay bets that win on those 4 o'clock and the night games.
Well, yeah. And you talk about some of the liabilities that are out there. Of course, the big game this weekend, we know how things are going to play out, seeing between 90 and 95% of the action. But how do you guys approach a Sunday night game between Indianapolis and New England where you know full well all week long everything, and I mean everything, is going to be tied into the Patriots in some capacity?
Yeah, well, what do you do? Games you look at, and I mean, what can you do? We have it, you know, at -8 right now, Pats -8, and we're getting, I just checked, 96% of the tickets are on the Patriots. And, of course, that line is people thinking Luck's not going to play, which trending towards. And, you know, even if he does play, what's that number go down to 3.5? And then you'll see him on it. It's hard to blame him, you know. I mean, the Pats have been such a good bet this year. They're crushing people, you know, with or without Luck. If Luck comes back, he's coming back off an injury. He's not playing. You're looking at what Hasselbeck and you know the Pats crushed the Colts. The Colts were so good last year, and the Pats crushed them twice. Then you have the Deflategate revenge. You know, on top of that, I mean, it's hard to blame anybody for betting the Patriots this weekend. So yeah, I mean, you throw it up there. It's -8 right now. You know, goes -9, -7.5, -9.5. You know, whatever. But everybody's going to be on the Pats no matter what that number is.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You mentioned the Luck situation, and Payne and I went back and forth this morning as we saw this number start to take off, especially at BetOnline, going from 7.5 out to 10.5. And Payne, kind of want to get your thoughts. By all indications, media, Andrew Luck seems to be operating at 100%. Do we think this is more just groups knowing that they're going to lay the points here, driving it up to create a situation maybe to back the dog as we get closer to kickoff?
Andrew Luck definitely threw in front of the media today, and he did yesterday. So to me, that's usually a positive sign. The coaches usually close the doors on days key guys are injured and are trying to give it a go, test out what's going on. But again, we talked about this. Well, it might help moving forward into the season. He has been out for about 20 days now. And when you compile that with some of the other factors that New England has going for them, with these are basically the guys that snitched on him for Deflategate, you know, you get that added in there a little bit. But again, we saw it last week where sharp guys did lay 7 with New England, got out ahead of the market, and they're going to be able to come back once the public piles on and take back Indianapolis at a much better price. Anytime you can lay 7 and take 10, 10.5, you're going to hold the books pretty much by the huevos.
And, Dave,
thanks for pointing that out, that it did go to 10. I was doing some other stuff here, so I didn't even notice it went to 10, so thanks for pointing that out.
And we know this game, obviously, huge liability going this. What are the other games that have really caught your guys' eye this weekend as far as where the public is putting down their money early and maybe some of the sharp positions you're starting to see emerge closer to the weekend?
Well, the public's pounding the Falcons tonight. That's about 90% of the bettors on the Falcons. This weekend isn't like last weekend. Well, as of now, you know, last weekend we had so many of those, you know, 8-2 bet ratio, even 9-1 bet ratios. But this weekend, as of now, it's not the only real big exposures are the Patriots and the Falcons. Of course, that can all change, but they're also betting the Cardinals, it looks like. Seahawks a little bit. Packers, of course. But, yeah, it doesn't look like last weekend with the huge exposures, but we'll see. That could change over the next couple of days.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Sunday afternoon games. Just a kind of brief glance, you have Carolina at Seattle, San Diego, Green Bay, and Baltimore and San Francisco. I'd support your sentiment that I can't imagine you're going to have any 90-10 type split scenarios. Anywhere that you're seeing the professionals start to tip their hand a bit off towards the weekend?
Actually, no. I mean, we haven't seen it much yet. We get so much more of that sharp action, you know, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and, of course, Sunday. But, you know, as far as we're concerned, and not too much yet.
It's definitely interesting, and I think when you look at some of the professional positions, I have to imagine they want to mask some of their action. But from an overall viewpoint of the slate, it doesn't look like there are a whole lot of those situational edges that they typically like to exploit. So it begs the question for some of our recreational bettors that, you know, should be up from last weekend, as you mentioned. But if they're looking to get back in business, what kind of specials can they find this weekend as part of Bet Online promotions in conjunction with Bet the Board?
Well, we still have that 50% deposit bonus going on, the one-time deposit. Whether you're a newbie to betonline.ag or you already have an account and it's time for a reload, use promo code BTB50. That's BTB50, and you'll get a 50% bonus. Up to $1,000 in comps. If you're looking for all the details on that, www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. And also, just to add about that sharp stuff, I mean, I was talking to our head line guy, and he noticed a trend that, for us, I can't speak for other books or anywhere else, but we seem to be seeing a lot more, not as much early sharp action for some reason this year. I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be coming in, for NFL, that is. This game's been a little bit later than usual. I don't know if that's an early trend for this year or what, but yeah, we'll see.
No, Dave, it's one of those things that's interesting because I have heard similar sentiments from the other books I talked to throughout the week that the professionals, knowing where the public is going to drive some of these prices, there's absolutely no incentive for them to get involved as early as we've seen in the past. I mean, Payne harps on this every single week. The NFL remains that one sport where the public does have a say in the betting market. And we're seeing different trends from the pros. Maybe grabbing that early number, knowing the public is going to push something in a particular direction, having a chance for buyback. But always, my friend, we thank you for your time. We know how difficult it is to sneak away from the shop for a few minutes during these busy windows. And as always, best of luck this weekend. And for folks that want to follow you on Twitter, Dave, how can they do that?
At Dave Mason, B-O-L, as in Bet Online, or best of luck. Dave Mason, B-O-L.
and some of the best information out there, folks. So follow Dave. Dave, thanks again. And this time
All
next
right,
week, we'll have you on, hopefully talking about a big weekend for the house.
All right. Have a great weekend, guys.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Well, apparently rough weekends on the house, Payne, taking a toll on the phone service that Mr. Mason is able to provide each and every Thursday for us.
Yeah. We made that joke a few weeks ago about him being out in the parking lot, taking a bucket of water and dumping it out of the boat. So, maybe the landline not doing too well there, BetOnline.
And for those folks, as the signal may have cut out, the promotion that's available for BetOnline listener for Bet the Board listeners, go to www.betonline.ag/bettheboard, and listeners get an exclusive 50% welcome bonus after creating a BetOnline account. Use the promo code BTB50, and if you're already a BetOnline player, you can use the exact same code for a reload bonus at 50%, one of the more generous offers you're going to find in the entire industry, especially in the middle of the season. And Payne, did you find it interesting that Dave mentioned, you know, professionals taking a little bit more time this year to tip their hand than moving early Thursday, which we've grown accustomed to in years past?
You know, we definitely move on Sunday. I think this is the one sport, again, we talk about where anyone who says professionals aren't waiting until Sunday or the last minute to bet games, when it refers to the NFL, are just dead wrong. The limits are the biggest. We definitely wait on some games right until kickoff even. So Sunday, we absolutely move on NFL games, no doubt about it, without question, cannot be debated. That being said, you know, there were some sharp positions taken early in this week, and not one that specifically I'm on, but, you know, you see a game like the Browns and Denver open six, and you're now looking at four with about 8 out of every 10 tickets coming in on the Broncos. There's definitely some sharp money on Cleveland early.
And I know every shop is a little bit different. Bet Online, one of the first to hang college football openers on Sunday, along with some of their NFL stuff. Dave will be the first one to tell you that they're taking a fraction of what's available. But to kind of give some of the recreational listeners a better idea of limits, we're talking about 25% of what's available on Sunday being open to even the sharper groups Monday through Wednesday typically?
Depends where you're, where you're operating. Obviously, there's other books out there that do offer some large limits at open that make it advantageous to go. Most books usually have something called a shaper, in effect, where they'll pay some groups to kind of shape their numbers, let them get in there before the lines are made public. But yes, most of the limits will take a small increase on Wednesday, then again on Thursday, then Friday. You're really looking at almost game day limits. So just depends on how big the position is or how much professional bettors are looking to camouflage the side they really want to take.
And you mentioned professionals as we jump into some of our game previews for this upcoming weekend. Denver and Cleveland, clearly an intriguing matchup. The Browns fresh off an upset victory of Baltimore, their first time going into the Mid-Atlantic and winning since 2007. The Browns have now covered 5 of their last 6 games as underdogs. You're looking at Denver, a 4-point favorite, total of 42.5 on the road at Cleveland. Any initial thoughts on this particular football game, my friend?
When you look at Denver, I mean, just kind of an anomaly at 5-0. They still can't run the ball. They're not passing the ball very well. They get the win and, for most, got the cover last week without scoring an offensive touchdown. You're looking at a team 31st in the NFL, 3.3 yards per rush. Peyton Manning, 27th in the NFL in passing yards per attempt. There's just not a ton you see here in Denver that you like. DeMarcus Ware looks like he's out. Talib is battling an ankle. As I alluded to earlier, we saw this game open as high as 6, settled in around 5.5, and now we're looking at 4. And the crazy part about looking at this now at 4 is question marks to McCown's ankle. And then your premier cover corner in Joe Hayden, he's been announced out, and yet this still goes to 4. So not a lot of faith from professionals when it comes to the Broncos. And this is probably a team in general moving away from this game that is going to have a tough time moving forward. We know what Peyton Manning is. The arm isn't going to be as healthy down the road as it is now. The weather in Denver, not going to be very good. You're going to need to be able to run the ball, which they cannot do. So a lot of question marks with Denver. And I guess I want to ask you this question. Right now, if you had to decide which overrated 5-0 team, Denver or Atlanta, would you choose to end the season with a better record, Todd?
I actually would take Atlanta at this point. I think they're a side, despite some of their injury concerns, that playing in a climate-controlled environment, even with Matt Ryan's skill set declining a little bit, I think defensively they're not as good as Denver, but I have a lot more faith in their offense. I think, as you mentioned, Denver, you look at their yard per play offensively, it's been an absolute disaster, and as weather starts to play a bigger role, I think the Broncos are going to come crashing back to earth. We've said it all year, Payne, the professionals have looked to try and fade the Broncos every which way. That's a trend I really don't see stopping as we get into the second half of the season.
Yeah, the only way it stops is if the market catches up.
I mean, do you think with a team as public as Denver, the market will truly ever catch up, or we're going to have to
not
see
if they, not if they keep winning. No.
Yeah. And struggle to do so. I mean, one thing we did see last week, though, for the first time all year, over money coming on a Broncos total, and that game never really sniffed.
No, it did not sniff. Obviously, the pick in the end zone from Manning, slowed some things down. But you get Janikowski misses basically for him 2 chip shot field goals. But, that's kind of negated with a defensive score. And this was not a great Oakland defense last week. Their secondary, one of the worst in the NFL. And if you can't really exploit that secondary, I think it's going to be tough sledding moving forward.
Yeah, it's definitely something that bears watching. I know you nor I are big believers. And the Broncos, the hard part is there's nobody to really fade them with in the AFC West, as Oakland may be the second-best team, let a glorious opportunity slip through their fingers last week. Kansas City and San Diego appear to be fighting for identity amid some major, major injury questions. And a game that's, the injury has kind of taken center stage, although the head coach came out and said, wait, he may be available, and the man I'm speaking about is Tyrod Taylor. Cincinnati goes on the road to take on Buffalo. The Bengals got as high as 3.5. Numbers come back a little bit. We're looking at 3 minus $1.25 at BetOnline, total of 42.5. The Bills open as a favorite, but everyone out there handicapping this game should operate under the assumption that it'll be E.J. Manuel under center for the boys in Western New York.
Yeah, E.J. Manuel has taken just about all the snaps this week. Tyrod Taylor battling the injury. They didn't rule him out just yet, but how effective is he going to be? Funny to see E.J. Manuel. I hear a lot of people talking about, oh, there's only about a half-point downgrade to a point downgrade. This is a guy that they were looking to ship out before the beginning of the season, so they will likely rely on him this week. That being said, we saw a look-ahead line, Buffalo minus 1.5 before last week. You can now even get 3.5 some places. Certainly not a 5-point downgrade from Taylor to Manuel. You look at Cincinnati. They expended a lot of energy last week coming back. You're 5-0. This would qualify as that fat and happy spot. And if you just take a glance at that schedule, they have a big division matchup with Pittsburgh, and I would fully expect Big Ben to try to give it a go there next week. So not that there's a throwaway game in the NFL with just 16 games, but this isn't a good spot for Cincinnati.
And you mentioned the Bengals, some of their struggles. This team is actually 2-6 on the road their last 8 times before a bye week. Interesting note, though, and we talked about it, probably not in the same level of depth we should have the first time we saw it this year, but teams typically find themselves in a very precarious position from a covering standpoint and everything else the week before they go to London, whether it's distraction, whether it's – I have no idea what to really attribute it to, but it's been something that's bear watching, as we saw both the Dolphins and Jets struggle mightily before they left to go across the pond as well.
Well, I think we always get tied up in this. As kids, we grow up and we treat these athletes – like superheroes. We hang posters of them on our wall behind our bed, but the reality is they're human beings. They put their pants on one leg at a time, and when what we've seen with these London spots is it's essentially a vacation. So think of this as Friday, 3 p.m. at the office, and you're leaving on vacation that night. How much work are you doing? And with the London games, they're really trying to incorporate the family environment. So these players are bringing their families with them. They're setting up travel schedules and getting all their kids and families packed. So their mind is slightly elsewhere, and that, I think, is one of the key reasons why it's had that impact with the London game.
And you know whose minds have been elsewhere all season long, Payne? The Detroit Lions. This is a team that's an absolute dumpster fire. Although they enter this week's game against the Bears as a field goal favorite, total 43.5, the Lions have covered 5 straight in this series when playing at home. You look at the Bears, 2-10 straight up, their last 12 as road underdogs. Of course, one of those covers came last week in an outright win against Kansas City, a contest where they trailed 17-3 at the half. How do we even begin to go about handicapping Detroit amid their struggles and a Bears team who suddenly looks resurgent and banish the thought a win this week would take them to 500 on the season?
Yeah, this is this is likely the last stand for the Lions. It's as simple as that. We saw this number early in the week. It got sent down to 2.5. Everything that I am told, that was purely a dummy. I think this is going to close 3.5. Great shot to close 3.5. Lodi Nada, the calf injury, he says it's getting better every day. It does look like Levy re-injured the hip, and he'll miss. Safety James Hedebo, he's a big question mark at this point, but they get their best offensive lineman back in Warford. Joke Bell practiced this week. Eric Ebron says he's coming back. This has to be one of those games where you look in the mirror as a professional and say, listen, you know, we just need to give effort. Basically, they were called out last week for not giving effort. Matthew Stafford, we know he's not great, but you were benched last week. Show some pride here. And if there was ever a spot for Detroit to have a last stand, it's here. It's this game. This is the perfect spot. It's a division game. So professionals laid the 2.5 here. I think 3 is probably still a pretty good bet. This will close 3.5, in my opinion.
Yeah, Stafford might be a little bit down after having to pay a fine for wearing too much blue in his cleats in violation of the NFL's uniform policy. Clearly that
bringing him back out this week. You'd think after last week, throw that crap in the trash and maybe get some good luck cleats, maybe.
I was going to say, I might want to light the damn things on fire, given how poorly he performed. When the crowd is booing you and they're bringing in Matt Orlovsky in relief, I tell
Dan,
you all you need
Dan
to do.
Dan Orlovsky, don't bork the backup's name, man.
It doesn't matter who it is. It's not any quarterback.
Clipboard Kings need love, too.
To try and protect your investment. Speaking of other investments, a side that we were bullish on last week, the Washington Redskins, they got us to the window. They did everything they could to give that game away and eventually did on a pick six in overtime with a receiver slipping down. But the Redskins, a six-point underdog total on this game, 40.5 for their trip to MetLife Stadium to take off the Jets, who come in off a bye. Teams at home off the London trip, Payne, 1-7 against the spread as chalk. But the Jets, very interestingly enough, 15-3 to the under, their last 18 games off the bye. So some trends to keep in mind here, but handicapping the Redskins playing their second straight on the highway.
Yeah, you know, I've had a pretty good read on this Redskins team. We've backed them three times this season in 5 weeks and successful on all of them. Avoided them week one, and I think avoiding them this week is probably a good idea. Really tough spot for Washington. You get the heartbreak loss. Jets off the bye week, as you alluded to, and really getting guys like Revis and Decker fully healthy. Now, I know they played in London, but they weren't even close to 75%. You get Sheldon Richardson back this week off the suspension. So I'm not sure how the Jets defense could have gotten any better, but it's going to, obviously, with that key addition. I think, really, when you look at this game, the only shot the Redskins are going to have is to be able to establish the ground game, which they led the NFL in doing the first 2 weeks. But you look at who they played, and neither team could really stop the run and with the Rams in Miami. So maybe a little fool's gold there. I'm not sure Kirk Cousins is going to be able to beat a Todd Bowles defense with a week to prepare if the offense is completely on his shoulders. We did see this tick down to 4.5. I think you'll likely see this close closer to 7.
What, any thoughts on the total? Open 41.5 down to 40.5. I know we talk all the time about first half unders and maybe the Jets come out a little bit sluggish. The Redskins aren't exactly going to go light the world on fire offensively. For me, at 20.5, that'd probably be a more compelling angle than getting involved with the side.
Yeah. You know, 41 is a key number, so you've now missed that when you talk about the full game total. Probably first half when the market eventually opens at some point. probably a decent look at 20.5, but we'll see if that's where it opens in the offshore market.
At 20.5, the consensus here in town. I never thought I'd live to the day where there were more Vegas books hanging first half NFL size and totals than some of the offshore, but I digress to a rant that we got through that we got to last week. Payne, the team that you've had probably the best read on of anybody over the last year and a half, 2 years, maybe longer, but since we don't have documentation without this podcast previously, I can't give you credit for a longer period of time. The Miami Dolphins, fresh off the bye, the debut of Dan Campbell, on the road at Tennessee. This number has ping-ponged all over. We saw it open at 1, get to 2.5, get beat back down a little bit. Totals remain pretty constant at 43.5 since there was an initial surge of under money at 44.5, 45. The Titans, 213-1 against the spread, their last 16 at home. Hopefully, if you backed them last week, you were able to get the best of the number. But Miami, no stranger to burning money at the window either on a current point spread streak of 1-8 against the spread mark.
Yeah, not really sure where to start with this game. Obviously, the Dolphins bring in Dan Campbell. He would be the opposite of Philbin. He is the rah-rah, in-your-face coach. Day one at practice, got the offense together, got the defense together, and lined them up to do the Oklahoma drill. So back to basics. A lot of one-on-one stuff in practice. He booted Kevin Coyle as expected, tried to get Jim Schwartz in there. Jim Schwartz declined the job, so they went with Lou Anamaru, if I could pronounce that correctly, as the defensive coordinator. Not really sure what's going on there. They appoint Al Saunders as offensive consultant, and if you talk to anybody around the league, he basically was Chip Kelly before Chip Kelly. So hopefully that does some things. The interesting point here is Dan Campbell's a guy that's going to want to turn this team into being a physical team. Now, I'm not sure you can change a cheetah's spots. They are soft. The personnel is very soft, but maybe in a one-game stance you're looking at here, likely a good way to look at the Dolphins, in my opinion. This did get as high as 3. Initial money from, you know, was a dummy to get that 3, so you know, not as strong as a position now as we're looking at 2 basically across the board. But if ever there was a spot for the Dolphins, this would be it. Brent Grimes looks like he is a full go at practice today. Brandon Albert looks like he is going to be a full go at left tackle as well. So those are 2 key huge pieces to get back. You talk about the defensive line. Vernon was dealing with the high ankle sprain. He looks like he's going to go. Wake, been a shell of himself. A lot of people say he shouldn't be playing. He's that beat up, but 2 weeks off there probably helps a little bit. So for me, it's Dolphins or nothing here.
Yeah, I think Tennessee have to wonder if they're going to be a little bit hungover from the way they let a glorious opportunity to get a win last week against Buffalo kind of slip through their fingers. I won't call it conservative play calling, but that's sure what it felt like with Ken Wesenhunt playing not to lose instead of playing to win that particular football game. Buffalo made enough plays late despite being outgained and pretty much outplayed for the majority of that football game. A team that probably outplayed their opponent but still came up on the short end of the stick, Seattle. They go back home to take on Carolina fresh off a bye. Luke Kuechly should be back, finally passing concussion protocol. The Panthers have not been great off the bye week themselves under Coach Ron Rivera, 0-4 straight up and against the spread in this role. I know you hit on this game a little bit Monday, talked about how there was going to be some dog money. Right now we're looking at Seattle, a 7-point favorite total on this one, 40.5 at BetOnline.
You know, this is kind of a weird game for me because I'm really down on Carolina. And now you're looking at this team 4-0, and now I'm trying to make a case to back them. And I've cooled on that side a little bit. Obviously, Luke Kuechly back, that's a huge addition. Also looks like Marshawn Lynch should be back and a full go for Seattle. You get playoff revenge here for Carolina off of bye week. I don't know if they have the weapons outside to compete with the Seattle defense, but Cam Newton just seems to do things to keep his team involved, and there will definitely be an advantage with this Carolina defensive front against Seattle's weak offensive line. To me, if you could get 7.5 in a game that looks like it's going to close 40, would be the way I would look. Nothing for me at this juncture in time, but this is, to me, a pretty good spot for Carolina. Seattle, again, with the cross-country travel back home. They played a Monday nighter before that, so the schedule in this spot isn't very not doing them any favors.
It should be an interesting watch. We've talked about Seattle and some of their struggles. These are clearly the kind of games they need to win at home. Carolina probably not as good, as you mentioned, as their 4-0 record indicates. But again, a team that we've looked to try and fade early and often this season, and it hasn't quite worked out all that well for us. Of course, the marquee game, we got Dave Mason's thoughts on exactly what this will do. For the sports books this weekend, New England now a 10-point favorite, 54.5 for their trip to Indy. Some interesting notes here. The Colts, 11 of 13 games have gone over in the month of October when they're listed as an underdog. Colts have actually thrived as a home dog, Payne. 9-0 straight up and against the spread, according to our friends at Oddshark. I found that to be a very interesting note. And they've only been a bigger home dog once since 1998. So a little bit of uncharted territory. But the revenge tour for New England continues to roll on. And a role as road favorite, something that they're all too familiar to thriving in.
Yeah, that sounded like the Colts have a lot of pocket lint going for them. The Patriots will be without left tackle Nate Solder. Usually when you talk about a team losing their left tackle, that's significant. But if you've watched any of the film on New England all season long, we knew the offensive line was going to be somewhat of an issue. But you're seeing a team that literally is going 10 deep on the offensive line. They're subbing guys in and out almost every other possession. So it looks like they'll have someone there that's used to it. It won't be as huge of a drop-off for New England as it would be someone else. We talked about this earlier. Andrew Luck threw in front of the media 2 days in a row. I think that would signal that he's going to be a go. They let Josh Johnson go. It's just a tough spot. I think you probably wait on Indianapolis. I believe at a certain number, at 10, that would be the side. No one's looking to run in front of New England right now, especially, as I alluded to, this being the team that essentially ratted them out for Deflategate. We read some press clippings from Brady, and he said it would be disingenuous to not score as many points as possible in a game like this when you're talking about working for Robert Kraft. He wants to pay that man back, is supposedly some of the quotes he said this week. So you'll definitely get a fired-up effort from New England, as I expect you will all season. We saw what they did with their past transgressions when it came to being punished by the league, and their offense was just lights out all season long. So tough spot here, but I think pros will be on the Colts at 10. I think
it doesn't really shock me in the least. The pros looking to try and get a piece of New England. We saw that last week against Dallas. You had a wave of steam come in on Sunday. You and I traded some notes about it, talking about how, you know, when you have that number, oftentimes you have to throw out the names on the front and back of the jersey and just grab that price point. Just hasn't worked out real well for a New England team that continues to win, cover, and do so in pretty dominant fashion. Resetting for everyone, the man on the other end of the line, providing all the insightful analysis and some of the great perspective on where these numbers are going to go and when to try and move on them, Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. And as always, subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, or check us out at toddstake.com. And Payne, we got a few questions that I want to try and get in today before we give a little bit more comprehensive analysis of the Falcons-Saints showdown tonight. And the first one comes in from Drake Carlson. What's the number one thing you look for when trying to identify value in a line?
It's a pretty good question. I mean, now that we have look-ahead lines, I think using a market perspective tool is huge when you're just talking about the line from a core perspective. And we talked about that with the Detroit-Chicago game, where you look just a week ago, and this line was Detroit minus 6.5. You can now lay 2.5. So I think when you're just talking about the line in general, it's very, very important to see the potential moves week to week, especially in regards to the NFL, a sport, again, where the public has their say, where public perception creates some value in the marketplace.
Definitely the case, and I think you hit on public perception. That is the one integral part when you're talking about the NFL, trying to capitalize on the IT team, looking to go against them. When it becomes a doomsday-type prophecy, that's oftentimes to try and back a lot of these bottom cellar dwellers in the National Football League. Of course, some of those things will change as you get deeper into the season with teams that potentially have quit or appear to be mailing in games, but we can address those in weeks 13 through 17 when we eventually get there. And one other question came from 6.5 Underground. What are some key indicators to look at when trying to forecast where a line will go? You know, you and I have access to some of the best information, whether it's sportsbook contacts, betting groups. So for us, we usually have a pretty good sense of where the market's going to head before it gets there. But for the casual bettor, aside from listening to this podcast every Monday and Thursday, are there some words of advice that you'd give them knowing when to jump in on a particular number?
If you don't have a bunch of access, I think, you know, getting yourself familiar with the spots and situations, that's number one. Looking at bet percentages, that might be a helpful guide, just, you know, one element to look at. And then thinking about things, like we'll talk about this Thursday night game, for instance. But let's just say you like New Orleans and you're looking at this game that opens 2.5. You see a 5-0 team versus a team that just got blown out by 20. You're looking at bet tickets in the range of 9 out of every 10 tickets coming in on Atlanta. It's probably going to make sense when you add all those pieces together that if you like New Orleans, you're likely going to wait. So just little things like that, trying to take each piece of the puzzle to kind of create the big picture overview on each game. So I think little things like that without knowing you know, where professional money is going to come into the market and when it's going to do so. Not to go off on a little rant, but I always find that funny. Everybody talks closing line value now. Well, if you have information or you have information that's going to move the market, is that great of a task that's something you're monitoring? Typically, if you think you have information that's good enough to move the market, it should move. No, I don't know why we need to rant and rave and track that kind of thing. But
yeah, I have no idea who you'd be referring to in this type of instance. So,
to each his own.
It's definitely one of those things that I think we've seen, especially in college football, maybe not so much the NFL, where these markets have moved considerably, and oftentimes they can still be 100% the wrong side. So, yes, while in the old days grabbing 7 for a game to close 4 would give you a great indication of success, it hasn't quite worked out that way in college football, especially as more money starting to transact off the screen. But that is a much more comprehensive and theoretical discussion than I think a lot of our listeners want to try and sit and listen to as they pass their afternoon at their desk before the Thursday night game. Of course, you mentioned Saints and Falcons. We're looking at Atlanta, a 3.5-point road favorite in the division. Total on this game sits at 51.5. Atlanta 5-0 atop the land. The Saints, a team taking on water pretty quickly. They were gashed last weekend by the Philadelphia Eagles. Take it for what it's worth. The Saints have won 7 straight October home games. The only time they played in primetime this year at the Superdome, they did beat the Dallas Cowboys with Brandon Weeden under center. But handicapping this game, Payne, I'm going to throw it to you and let you take it any which way you'd like, my friend.
Well, I think one interesting point here with the Falcons is we know they're a little overrated. And then this becomes the first team in NFL history to be 5-0 and trail 4 times in 4 games. So a lot of smoke and mirrors there, and this is a team that I really liked coming into the season, but you have to evaluate things properly. You have to take off the homer cap and try to find some value here. And you get a Falcons team that did it again in overtime last week. You get the 5-0 flashy record. You get a Saints team that just got blown out. This, to me, would be a last stand for New Orleans here. Julio Jones looks like he's going to go. He'll be on a pitch count. I watched every snap last week. The guy's 70% at best. Leonard Hankerson, he looks like he's going to give it a go. Again, far from 100%. So I think this game comes down to one simple thing. We know the Saints defense is bad, but can you at least slow down Devontae Freeman? I mean, you're not going to shut this guy out, but you have to slow him down a little bit. And I think that'll be the key here. And if they can do that, the Saints have a real shot.
Yeah, slowing him down, maybe limiting him to 150 all-purpose yards, the way Devonta's been going and tearing up opposing defenses. The Falcons did get Tevin Coleman back last week, but he was largely ineffective in limited touches. You mentioned the injuries to the Falcons receivers. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I definitely thought there was a chance that the Falcons may decide to err on the side of caution, knowing there was extended rest coming for Julio Jones to try and rest that hamstring. But clearly, he'll be in the mix. Leonard Hankerson, as you talked about, nicked up. So it will be very intriguing to see how Atlanta handles this particularly difficult spot going on the road to take on a Saints team who should bring a gamesman-type effort. I think that the only way to look here, despite, you know, as difficult as it is to do, is towards the Saints as a home underdog. I do think that there is a little bit of value in terms of backing New Orleans on the money line here, but with 3.5s widely available, you may get a 4. Would encourage people to take those points as extra insurance instead of getting cute trying to back New Orleans as on the money line, looking to get greedy.
Yeah. Won't argue there. Be interesting to see where this line goes. Would love to take 4. Not sure if that is realistic. I know everybody is trying to wait this one out, but every now and then someone gets a little trigger happy and goes. So we'll see where this goes. Obviously, everyone would love to take 4 here. Not sure it's going to happen at a majority of books. You'll obviously be able to get a 4 at some places, and if you can do that, I would encourage that. But New Orleans at 3.5 or better is probably the way to look here.
Yep, some recreational shops, especially here out in the desert, will probably get to 4. Their hands will be a little bit forced. As you mentioned, some of the professionals a bit trigger-happy. One thing that we aren't here on the Bet the Board podcast, but for Payne Insider, follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me at Todd Furman on Twitter. And our special Thursday guest, Dave Mason, follow him on Twitter as well, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. We'll be back with you on Monday as we break down the marquee showdown in the NFC East between the Eagles Giants, recap the weekend that was in the National Football League, and hopefully have another movie review for you, schedule permitting, moving forward. In the meantime, best of luck this weekend, and we'll see you at the window.